Now, the Arecibo Radio Telescope in Puerto Rico, once the largest observatory in the world, collapsed earlier this month after falling into disrepair for several years. You might recognize its iconic 1,000-foot reflector dish from appearances in the James Bond movie GoldenEye and The X-Files. Since it was built in the 1960s, it's helped astronomers explore some of the deepest parts of space and send our own radio transmissions out into the universe. David Eicher is the editor of Astronomy Magazine based in Waukesha. David, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's nice to be with you.
Tell us about the Arecibo Observatory and the impact it made in the world of astronomy.
Well, this is really the end of an era, and we knew it was coming. We didn't know the telescope would collapse, but it's sad because this has been a huge workhorse, and especially, of course, in the areas of radio astronomy and radar astronomy as well. It was really a product of the Cold War originally. It was in 1959 the plans came together, and there were concerns about tracking missiles re-entering the atmosphere at that point. But of course, it went on to do a huge amount of astronomical research and many things that other telescopes have not done. So it's a sad end to a great instrument.
When I think of observatories and telescopes, I think of something with an eyepiece that I look through. Tell us what we learned from radio astronomy like this.
It's very weird, radio astronomy, because you think of optical astronomy, and of course, in the middle of the electromagnetic spectrum, our eyes are sensitive to a relatively narrow range of radiation. But this is radio waves, fairly low energy, very long wavelength, low frequency energy radiation. But there's a lot that you can learn from that, and that Arecibo did for us when it comes to discovering the nature of how stars die, these very massive stars that become neutron stars and rapidly rotating pulsars. We sent out a message to the universe that we don't know if anyone or anything heard with SETI, with the search for extraterrestrial intelligence using this telescope. And we've done lots of radar mapping of close objects to us in the solar system, like asteroids and comets, some of which could become real dangers to us in near Earth space. Just ask the dinosaurs.
Right. And this is one of the unique skill sets, or fairly unique skill sets, of Arecibo, as I understand it, the ability not just to look at the signals coming to us, but to bounce radio, like you said, use it like radar to understand things in our own solar system. How important is it to be able to do that?
Well, that was really critical in understanding near-Earth asteroids to us, to bounce these microwaves off of objects and be able to essentially map them, understand the shapes of these objects, their composition, and what they're doing. Because there are no big, very dangerous civilization killers that we know of in near-Earth space. But obviously, there will be more collisions with Earth with these objects in the future, and so we really need to have a good inventory and understand them. So Arecibo was really key in that process for decades.
One of the cool stories in astronomy in recent years has been the ability to discover more and more exoplanets, planets outside of our solar system. Has Arecibo been part of that?
Yes, it has. Arecibo and other radio telescopes as well, and now the largest one, now that Arecibo is down, is in southern China. But we also have the Very Large Array in North America and New Mexico, and lots of smaller dishes that tie together to make one big dish. And Arecibo was key in looking, again, radio waves travel through dust and lots of junk in the galaxy that light waves don't easily. And so really in understanding mapping the formation of these exoplanets that we know are voluminous throughout the galaxy, we can sort of see how these dusty disks and these planets form through radio astronomy, which really allows us to understand how we got here, how old our solar system formed as well.
Talking to David Eicher, editor of Astronomy Magazine based in Waukesha, about the Arecibo Radio Telescope in Puerto Rico. It's big. It collapsed earlier this month after falling into disrepair, talking about what we've learned from it and what replaces it, if anything. Now, David, a lot of the cool images that we see these days coming from space, and you share a lot of them on your Twitter feed. I was looking at those earlier today. They're coming from satellites, the Hubbles and things like that of the world. What can we do from the ground with these radio telescopes that we can't necessarily replicate from orbit?
Well, we can do it. It's maybe not the sexiest thing in the world, radio astronomy, if you will, because it doesn't produce those killer colorized images, you know, from Hubble and from other ground-based optical telescopes. But it gives us a lot of the story of the universe, of how the universe works, how stars come together, how they explode, and how massive stars die, how stars like our sun will age and become a planetary nebula, puff its atmosphere off about 6 billion years from now. We'll be living in one of these dying stellar remnants. That'll be long after life has gone on Earth, of course. And also sort of how solar systems evolve, how these small bodies in our solar system that orbit the sun, our star, migrate, evolve, move around, and interact with each other. They also tell us a lot about ice on the planets near us, about other properties, the density, the rotation period, the existence of ice on Mercury all came from Arecibo, as well as the first really good observations of nearby comets. So they really tell us they're the unsung heroes, these radio and radar telescopes, if you will, that tell us a lot about the story, how the universe works, even though they don't deliver those really cool color images.
Now, here's maybe a dumb question. Arecibo was big. It was a really big thing. Is bigger better? Does being so large, or did being so large, enable it to do stuff that a smaller unit couldn't do?
It certainly did. Very large is good in radio terms, and Arecibo was 305 meters across. The FAST telescope now in southern China is 500 meters across, single dish. That's now the largest dish since 2016. So that enables you to do a lot. However, you can kind of get around that with a tricky technique that's called interferometry that allows you to use smaller dishes that are moved around at large distances and combine those signals from smaller dishes. So that still doesn't replace a huge dish in that natural spot in Puerto Rico, for example, but it lets you do a lot of what Arecibo used to do without building this gigantic single dish.
Is there talk about replacing Arecibo where it is now?
There hasn't been in a serious way that I know of at this point. And, of course, we have a government and some funding that's not necessarily fully interested in supporting science at the moment here. So we'll see how that goes with Congress. But it would be a tremendously expensive thing to rebuild Arecibo. And I think that maybe we're going to be looking at more clever techniques with smaller telescopes that are combined even around the world in the future, rather than necessarily building a huge single replacement dish.
Hey, David, while we've got you here, I wanted to ask, there's been some talk about two planets getting together to put on a show for us on Earth. What's going on?
Yes. Yeah, that's very exciting. You know, Monday night is the closest approach, and this is Jupiter and Saturn. You can see them low in the west, western sky after twilight here. They will be at their closest point in the sky in more than 400 years, Monday night. And actually, they were in very heavy twilight, then nearly daylight, then. So you really have to go back to the 12th century to get them this close. They'll be much less than a degree apart. And so you'll be able to see them in the same low-power telescope field Monday night. This is a very exciting and almost unprecedented thing. If you have a clear sky, please get out in the evening and look at Jupiter and Saturn. They'll be so close that the naked eye, you'll almost not be able to separate them with your eye alone.
Oh, but we can spot them with our naked eye without even a telescope?
Yeah, they're the brightest. They'll be the brightest planets, the brightest things in the sky. They're the brightest planets after Venus. So you'll see them very brightly in the low after sunset. You know, look to the west, and you'll see them. They're very bright. Mars will be over to your left, but far away from the two of them. And they'll be the brightest things in the sky and very, very close together.
And I know sometimes when one space body gets close to another, it's a learning opportunity for scientists. I don't know how this one would be. Is it? Is there something we can learn by seeing them so close to each other?
Not a great deal, because, of course, Saturn is a fairly deep background object, much farther away than Jupiter. So scientifically, it's not quite so interesting. But as a dazzling sky event, and even real scientists love that, it's going to be a killer. It will be a spectacle that we won't see for a long time to come.
David, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
David Eicher is the editor of Astronomy Magazine based in Waukesha. He talked with us today about the legacy of the Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico, which collapsed earlier this month.